All right.
Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Lamed in Avodah Zarah. We ran through the Mishnah quickly yesterday, but that's okay because the Gemara is not going to go quickly through the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to go very slowly through the Mishnah. Each and every one of the issues pointed out in the Mishnah on Chaf Tesam and Beis is going to be discussed at length in the Gemara. We're talking today about Yayin. All day today is all about Yayin, and let's get underway. We start with the Gemara. Yayin minal, and the Gemara wants to know, where do we know that wine is prohibited? Now, this question is a loaded question, and so let's go through a little bit of background before we start with the actual Gemara. The Mishnah told us, if you look back at the top of the page, these are things which are prohibited, and the prohibition is an isser hana, you're not to get benefit. Now when we talk about prohibition, so you have to understand that there are gradients of prohibition, levels of prohibition. Number one, when we're talking about food, you can talk about isser achila, something which is just prohibited to eat. For example, nevela, a non-kosher animal, or an animal which is kosher but didn't receive a proper shechita, right? Those items are asr ba'achila, you're not allowed to eat those items. But you can get benefit from it. Right, so when you go to the store and you buy some dog food for your dog, right, you don't have to worry that the dog food is kosher. It doesn't have to be kosher, right? Because even though it's not kosher meat that you're buying, but you're allowed to get benefit from it, you're just not allowed to eat it. Okay, that's number one. That's called isser achila. Number two is that there are sometimes that the isser is one grade up from that, and that's isser hana. You're not allowed to get benefit from it. And there are a lot of examples of isser hana. The Mishnah over here obviously is giving us a whole bunch of examples. The first one, which is our topic for today, is Yayin. Yayin is going to be asr b'anan, wine from a non-Jew. Now, another point of introduction. In our Mishnah, what kind of wine are we talking about? Now, to be clear about what I'm asking over here, right, when we're talking about wine being prohibited, there's what's called Yayin Nesach. Yayin Nesach means that they actually used it for Avodah Zarah. So part of their idolatrous practice is that they take wine, and I'm not really sure what they do. They sprinkle the wine towards their idol. They pour the wine down the idol. Look, I mean, lahavdil, but I mean, we do that in the base of Mikdash. We take our wine and we pour it on the Mizbeach. It's part of our avodah. And very often we compare avodas because in terms of giving a definition of what the avodah is, you know, sometimes what is an avoda for us also is an avoda for them. I mean, I guess part of the point is that they emulate and they copy just wrong God. But, right, we do it. So they also do it. They also sprinkle their wine for avoda zara. That's called Yayin Nesach. Now, by Yayin Nesach, that's avoda zara. Once you use the word avoda zara, it's a conversation ender. There's nothing more to talk about. Avoda zara. I'm not allowed to eat it if it's edible, and I'm certainly not allowed to get benefit from it. In fact, by avodah zarah, I have to destroy it. I have to just absolutely get rid of it. I have to eradicate it. So, our Mishnah over here, not talking about Yayin Nesach. Okay? Our Mishnah is talking about Stam Yainam. Now, Stam Yainam just simply means wine manufactured by a guy. Wine owned by a guy. Owned, manufactured by a guy. We'll talk later on about maybe some subtle differences between manufacture versus ownership. But it's basically wine of a guy. And you're not allowed to drink that wine. Okay, why not? Okay, and again, all these are loaded questions. Why not? Why not allowed to drink Stam Yainam, which is what our Mishnah is talking about? Our Mishnah doesn't use the word Stam Yainam, but that's what the Mishnah is talking about. So take a look now at Tosos. First Tosos on the page, which is commenting on our Gemara, Yayin Minalan. Okay, this is a very important Tosfos. This Tosfos over here will get us through the rest of today. Okay, so really, in order to understand the sugya and to get a real feel for what's going on over here, so this Tosfos really unlocks a lot of the discussion. Tema. Tosfos asked the following question, my kabai minalan, hamas nisa mari bistam yena. So I don't understand the Gemara's question. The Gemara's minalan, where do we know this? And the Gemara is about to quote Psukim, and we haven't done it yet, but still, the Gemara is going to quote Psukim, and Tosfos says, what Pasuk are you quoting me right now? This is all in the world of Gzera. This is rabbinic decree. You don't quote Psukim for rabbinic decree. Yeah, sometimes we do something called an asmachta, but you'll see in the Gemara is not going to be talking about asmachta. The Gemara is going to really quote Psukim in limudim and drashas, And Tosfos says, I don't understand what's going on right now. Our Mishnah is talking about Stam Yenam. Stam Yenam is a rabbinic decree. Why? This is important. Because of Benoseh and because of intermarriage. Now, a lot of our discussion from this point forward to the end of the second parak, it's all going to be intermarriage discussion. Right? Bishul Akum, for example, coming up later on, about a week from now. A little more than a week from now. Bishul Akum, right? Food cooked by a non-Jew. All the ingredients are kosher. Everything's fine. The food you can't eat. You're not allowed to eat it. Why? Chasnas. Because it'll lead to intermarriage, right? They cook you a good meal. And of course, the next thing you're going to want to know is, you know, you have a daughter. But it's you know, and I don't mean it tongue-in-cheek, because, right, food really is a social mechanism. Absolutely. And so, if you allow them to cook for you, so it'll lead to chasnas. We'll talk more about that later on. Intermarriage becomes a big role in this. And Tosfos over here says, same thing with Stam Yenam, it's the same thing. The rabbis prohibited wine manufactured by a non-Jew because of chasnas, because of intermarriage. So when our Gemara over here is asking the question, me, Nalan, how do I know this? Tosfos says, what are you asking? Doesn't make any sense. Tosfos goes on. Miu, lo hayu osim oso behana mitam zeh. Tosfos gets to the heart of the matter. If it was just an issue of Benosehem, so there wouldn't be a prohibition of hana. It wouldn't be asr bahana. Food cooked by a non-Jew. It's not asr bahana. You're just not allowed to eat it. You can get benefit from it. Stam yenam, if it was all about benosehem, if it was all about intermarriage, you wouldn't be asr bahana. Neither the havi apita nushmanam, shalo avdu rabbanan, shalo avdu rabbanan. Ki yai nesach gamur, shenes nasach lefnei avodas kocham, shasr min hatorah mishum dedami lei. The Gemara's question now is, how do I know that there should be an Isser Hana'a? Oh, so that Tosfos says, because there are two aspects to Stam Yenam. One aspect is Benosehem, which Tosfos says is the real story behind Stam Yenam. And then there's a side discussion, which is our Gemara's discussion, which is Benosehem only explains the Isser Achila, or in the case of wine, Isser Shtia. How do I know that I can't get benefit from it? Because there's another story going on. And that's the story of Yai Nesach. Because wine owned by a non-Jew, even if they didn't use it for idolatry, the rabbis, when they made the decree, treated it like Yai Nesach. So now what our Gemara is establishing is that by Yai Nesach, how do I know that Yai Nesach is Asar Bahana? Once I establish that, so now we're going to go to the Gzeira Derabbanan, the rabbinic decree, and we're going to follow now that the rabbis decreed for Benosehem and for Yayin Nesach, and as a result of that, the Isser is going to be an Isser Hana. Okay, right? So what comes out from this Tosfos is very important. There are two reasons behind the Gzeira of Stam Yenam. One, which Tosfos seems to suggest is really the primary reason, doesn't suggest, he says it. He says it. The primary reason behind Stam Yenam is Benosehem, is intermarriage. The secondary reason is Yayin Nesach, because of wine that was libated for Avodah Zarah. And it's not, Nafkamina is not the right word over here. But a result of the second reason is that this Stam Yenam is not just going to be Asr Beshtia, it's also going to be Asr Behana. Okay.
Because we're worried that you can start dealing in Yayin Nesach.
Yeah, that's the way Tosfos is presenting this.
How are you explaining that we use the like scotch or whiskey of them, but not the wine?
So from the Gemara's perspective, a lot of this is based on the social norms. And from the Gemara's perspective, the Gemara says that wine is a social mechanism, but not the hard liquors. I know in our culture and in our society, the harder liquors are for sure a social mechanism as well. Would things have been different? Perhaps. But we're not in the position to make new gzeiras.
And how can you drink a whiskey that was in a barrel that had cherry?
Oh, that's right. That you, I'll give. I know that, but you call the OU and you ask him with no disrespect. I'm just saying that's not my.
It doesn't have anything to do with how the wine was prepared or how the whiskey was prepared. It's just the fact that we are not supposed to drink with them because of social reasons and or.
I understand that, but back right.
Why? How it was prepared?
How it's prepared is not going to be as critical.
Right.
Okay, now let's go back to the Gemara. All right? So that tosis is really important. I'm going to come back to it later on this morning, just to help us understand a couple things through the Gemara. Okay, it's very, very critical to the basic understanding of our entire daf. Yaim Inan, so the Gemara starts off, Amar Rabba Baravu Amakra, Asher Chelo Zavchemo Yochelu Yishtu Yaim Nisicham. Pasuk in, what was it, last week's Parsha? Yeah, I think so. So it says that they offer their fats, and they drink their wine. Talking about the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Ma zevach chaser ba'anav, yayin esach chaser ba'anav. So we know that once they offer a zevach, a carbon to Avodah Zarah, that's chaser ba'anav. Same thing is true with wine. Zevach gufe minalan. So Gemara now says, well, how do I know that? How do I know that zevach, that a carbon offered to Avodah Zarah is chaser ba'anav? Dechsev v'yitzmedu l'ba'apor v'yochlu zivchei meisim. Right? They worship their Baal Peor. This is a pasuk in Tehillim describing the incident of Bilam and the Neshe Midyan. Right. But no Midyan, I should say. V'yochlu zivchei meisim, and they ate zivchei meisim. Ma meisa sabana av zevach nami asabana. Meisa, dead bodies, asabana. Zevach is also asabana. Gemara says, okay, how do we know that? We'll learn it through Gzeir Shava. Ksiv Hacha v'tamasham Miriam. Ksiv Hasam v'arfu Sham esa Egla b'nachal. Ma'alahal anasa b'hana, afkan asa b'hana. So there's Arifa, the breaking of the neck of the Egla Rufa. We know that's asa b'hana. So too, a mace, the dead body, is asa b'hana. V'hasam minalan, how do I know that? Because the Egla Rufa serves as a kapara, it's like kachim. Kachim is asa bahana. So to this is also going to be asa bahana. So we're stringing a whole bunch of different things together that are asa bahana. These are really limudim, right? Which harps back now to Tosus's question. What are you talking about over here with all these limudim? We're talking about Gzera Darabanan. So again, to reiterate, Tosus says, we're just establishing that there's something called Yayin Nesach. Now that we know that there's something called Yayin Nesach, and we know that Yayin Nesach is Asar Bana, Stam Yainam, the rabbis are treating like Yayin Nesach, and therefore going to be Asar Bahana as well.
You've got to run to Tehillim to ask Karbanos
Avodah Zarah. Yeah. Right.
There's no pasuk that says that the Torah says that actual Avodah Zarah is Asar Bahana.
It sounds that way. In other words, the Torah says when you come across Avodah Zarah, you burn it, you destroy it, right? Asherem tisrafun be'esh, right? And right. Okay. Starting with the Gemara. Okay, wine turns to vinegar. Everyone knew that? I learned that recently. Okay, vinegar is not offered as to their Avodah Zarah, right? Once it's vinegar, like they don't like say, well, it was once wine, so okay. No, in other words, for their Avodah Zarah, they respect their Avodah Zarah, and they only offer wine. So when wine turns to vinegar, which is the fate of every bottle of wine, so when wine turns to vinegar, so the Mishnah says it depends. If it was in their possession when it was wine, and in their possession it turned to vinegar, still asr. Meaning, just because it changed isn't going to remove the isr. If it was in our possession and it turned into vinegar, so that's it. It's always going to be okay from that point forward. Pshita mishum da achmetz pakalei isur. The Gemara says that's so obvious, right? It turns to chametz, and now the isr goes away. Isr can't just simply go away. So the Gemara says, you're right. They're right. That in that point, there's nothing new to learn. However, we will say the following. Let's say that I have vinegar, and I sell it to a guy, transport it through a guy. I don't have to do chosam b'so chosam, a seal within a seal. Gemara is so funny. Gemara is assuming that we know that the requirement is that when it comes to wine, it has to be chosam b'so chosam, a seal within a seal. Whenever you transport wine, in order to make sure that the wine was not handled by the non-Jew, they can handle the bottle. That's fine. It's the wine they can't handle, the actual wine. So what we do in order to ensure that they don't touch it is that we put a double seal on it. All your bottles of wine have a double seal on it, right? The cork is one seal. They put a wrapper on top of it. That's a second seal. Chosam b'so chosam, one seal within another.
Is that true for grape juice also?
Grape juice we'll discuss later on this morning. So it's a good question. So chosam.
Why, if it turned to vinegar, when they had, why are we concerned that they used it when before it was vinegar?
No, if they had, no, that's the Gemara's making that very point. If they had, if it was in their possession while it was wine, so then that's it. In other words, we treat it like wine, even though right now it's vinegar. Once they get it after it's vinegar.
It was Jewish wine.
Jewish wine.
It's sold to the non-Jewish.
After it turned to vinegar, correct. So chomish lana biyarovik kochavim ain't tzar chosam b'sel chosam. So you don't need the double seal. In suchil amenasche. Look, as far as nisuch is concerned, it's vinegar. They're not gonna offered to their idolatry. The imishum achlufim, maybe, well, let's do a switch, right? Let's give them, right, this vinegar is pretty good. Let's give them an inferior vinegar and let's replace it with this vinegar. But for one seal, that's enough for them to say it's not worth it, right? It's just not worth it for them. If it was avodah zarah, that's enticing, right? But if it's just to swap vinegars, one seal is enough of a deterrent. Next, Amar Rabbi Elisha, Shaninu Yain Mevushal Shov Dikochem Shaya Mitchilaso Yain Aser. Cooked wine, Yain Mevushal. Oh, the big topic today, Yain Mevushal, wine which was cooked. So first and foremost, if it was their wine to begin with, meaning they manufactured the wine and then they decided to cook it, so the issue doesn't go away, right? In other words, it's Tam Yainam, it's their wine, even though now it's cooked, it doesn't go away. Pshita mishum deivshal pakalei yisur. The Gemara says that's so obvious. Once they cook it, the yisur just goes away. Am Ravashi asked lishmina yaim mevusha shalani biyadu v'kochavim min sar chosam b'so chosam. Same point. Let's say the wine belonged to us. We made the wine. It was regular wine. We cooked it, and then we sent it to them. So one seal is going to be sufficient, because if it's a question of nisuch in suchel omenasche, so they don't do nisuch with cooked wine. I'll come back to that point in just a second. What about doing a switch? Nah, for what? It's not worth it. For it's cooked wine, they're not going to do the switch. It already has one seal on it. It's just not worth it to them. Period. End of that discussion. Cooked wine. The Gemara again is making assumptions which we need to understand and explain. Cooked wine, says the Gemara, don't worry about it. Right? Okay, you know, and I know, that most of our wines that we buy in the stores, you know, the cheap stuff, you know, the one I get. They're all yain mevushal, they're all cooked wines. And the Gemara over here is assuming, without giving any explanation, oh, once it's cooked, it's fine. Meaning, there's no longer a problem of stam yainim. Meaning that even if the non-Jew were to handle the wine itself, it's fine because it's cooked. Why is it fine? So the Rambam writes, the reason why it's fine is because once it's cooked, they don't offer to their idols. Oh, okay. Now, Gemara doesn't say it explicitly. It is, I'll tell you the truth though, in other words, especially after just having read that last line of Gemara, it is pretty clear that that's what the Gemara is alluding to as well, right? The Gemara at the very bottom of the page says, "Imishum in suche lo menasche." Gemara is very close to just saying it straight out. The Rambam's position is very well supported by the Gemara. Right? For whatever reason, I don't practice idolatry. I've never even seen idolatry. I don't know much about it. But in other words, the Rambam writes that once it's cooked wine, it doesn't do it for them. They just like, oh, it's cooked. Our gods won't accept it.
Can we do nesicha and mizbeach with cooked wine?
No.
So maybe they got that from us.
Right. Correct. Could very well be. Right. So if it's cooked wine, so they just don't offer it, and therefore there's no reason to prohibit stam yainim. The Rush on our Gemara points out, oh, that's an incomplete answer. that doesn't explain everything, because if you remember, going back to our Tosfos, the story behind stam yainim is that there are two reasons why the rabbis prohibited stam yainim. One is because of yain nesach, but two is because of benoseim, because of intermarriage. So the Rush writes, yeah, the Rambam did a great job explaining why it's no longer Yain Nesach. But really, it's not going to lead to chasnas, it's not going to lead to intermarriage. So the Rush believes that the Rambam's explanation is incomplete. And the Rush writes, and you know, this is, you know, you're going to be the Rush to write this. I couldn't just simply say this. Yain mevushel is davashenu shchiach. It's just something which is not common. And the gzeira de rabbanan, as a general rule, the rabbis only made a gzeira on something which is shchiach, on something which is common. Yain mevushel is not common, so therefore the rabbis did not include in the decree of Stam Yainam Yayin mevushel, because it's lo enu shchiach, because it's not common.
So you can drink it.
So you can drink it once it's cooked. You can drink it. Now remember, don't forget what the Gemara just said. If they had it while it was not cooked, before it was cooked, and they cooked it, the issue doesn't go away. Oh. It's still stam yeinam. In other words, if we manufactured it and then we cooked it, so now it becomes impervious to the gzera of stam yeinam. Okay, that's how the Rush explains it.
What's the purpose of cooking wine? I
mean, what's the purpose? It makes it inferior.
No, but why a person wants to make his wine inferior?
Why would they do it?
Yeah, why is somebody producing wine would want to?
Most people back then, that's exactly the Rush's point. Most people back then wouldn't do it. It ruins the wine.
Why
now they do it?
We do it now, so right. Right. So right. We do it for two reasons. Number one, there's pasteurization, which we learned about 100 years ago, which it kills the germs. Right? 200 years ago, they weren't worried about the germs. They didn't know about it, but it's another story. But we do it because of pasteurization, and we do it now because it's very convenient to us. Because now, yain mevushel is no longer, you know, it's no longer becomes an issue with stam yeinam, so they could serve it to us, and it's fine. Okay.
Wine always starts as non-cooked wine.
Right, but we manufactured it. No, but we manufactured it.
Which we manufactured.
Correct. We manufactured it. We're the ones who cooked it. Right, so, fine. Okay, so that's important, by the way, the Rambam Rush discussion about why cooked wine is no longer Stam Yeinam. And again, it goes back to that Tosfos of there are two reasons behind Stam Yeinam. One is Benosem, and the second is Yain Nesach.
Yeah, the Rambam is just kidding. All right. Since
Yain
Nesach doesn't work, then when they made the
Rabbanim,
even though it's
Mishul
Chasnas,
they took it over. Right. Fair defense of the Rambam. Tanu Rabbanim, we're now on the top of Lamed Amud Aleph. Let's continue. Yain Mevushel Va'anlun Tishov Dikochav Masurim. You cooked wine, and let's do this now. Okay. Another big discussion for today. Again, all within the same subject matter of Yain Mevushel. There are many, many Achronim who feel that Rashi's position goes like this. Rashi's position is that Yain Mevushel cooked wine is not allowed to be drunk. When the Gemara says that Yain Mevushel is okay, Rashi's position is it only means okay, you can get benefit from it, but you can't drink it. Now, there are two strong statements by Rashi that suggest that this is correct. Number one, the Rashi that I didn't read yet, on the bottom of the previous Amud. Ha'asa la'ashmi'inan. Right? Rashi writes the following. Follow with me in this Rashi. Ta'imadava kochavim bishlo. Ha'bishlo yisrael beheter. Sulo mitzer behana'a. If a Jew cooks it, it's not aser behana. It's not forbidden to get benefit from it. Etc. Rashi writes over here that once it's cooked, it's not aser behana. It's a simple diuk in Rashi. Rashi really infers this, that if it's cooked, you can get benefit from it, but it sounds like from Rashi, you can't drink it.
So what kind of benefit do you get?
Well, you can sell it. You can give it to your dog.
Your friend, there you go.
Give it to your... But you can get benefit from it.
Say the previous Rashi also.
Right. And in the previous Rashi as well. And there's a Rashi coming up in just a moment, which also indicates this as well. See, 1, 2, 3. It's three lines down. We didn't do the Gemara yet. Just follow with me in the Rashi. Muteres behana'a. So there are multiple comments by Rashi in the Gemara where Rashi sounds like if it's yain mevushel, if it's cooked wine, it's only mutar bahana'a, not mutar b'shtia. So obviously when Rashi says that, it like the alarm bells go off amongst all the achronim Does Rashi really mean that if it's cooked, you still can't drink it? Because we all know we drink it. In other words, we drink yain mevushel, cooked wine, even if it was handled by a non-Jew. So the Mishnah doesn't talk about yain mevushel. The Mishnah only talks about stam yena. Okay, so stay tuned later on. Maybe we'll explain Rashi, or we'll give an understanding of Rashi. Okay, but that's just important to realize right now that Rashi does seem to suggest that the permission, the dispensation, is only that you're allowed to get benefit from cooked wine, not actually drink it. Tana Rabbanan, let's continue in the Gemara. Two lines from the top of the page. Yain mevushel v'alon tishof dikochav masurin. If you have cooked wine, or alontis shel avod kochavim. Alontis is a drink, a beverage that they would prepare. We'll explain what that is in just a moment. That you cannot drink. That's also because, again, it was manufactured by a guy. Alontis kebriyasa muteris. However, if it's alontis kebriyasa, meaning that it was manufactured by a Jew, and then went to the hand of a non-Jew, that's okay, that's acceptable. What are we talking about over here? What kind of beverage is this? Vezi, we learned this kid, and now we learned the Mishnah Shabbos. Gabi, Shabbos, osin, anomlin, veinosin, alontis. Certain things on Shabbos you can prepare, certain things on Shabbos you cannot prepare. You can prepare on Shabbos anomlin. Rashi explains anomlin is... I'm sorry, the Gemara will explain in just a moment. I'm sorry. Also, I'm sorry. Osin anomlim veinosim alontis. Ezu anomlim veizu alontis. Anomlim yain udvashu pilpulin. Anomlim is wine mixed together with honey and peppers. I don't think the black pepper. Right? Just black pepper? Sure. I take your word for it. I'm not prepared to argue with you. You know a lot more about...
You wouldn't make pepper...
I don't know. Okay, fine. Alone is yain yashan. Umayim.
Huh? Gives it a zip.
Okay, good. Alone is yain yashan umayim sulun va'afar simon da'avzal bei masusi. Alone is, however, is old wine together with water and a afar simon. And the reason why that's prohibited to make on Shabbos is because it was made as a remedy. And since it was made as a remedy, you know, all medicines for generally healthy people are prohibited on Shabbos, or people with mild headaches or mild, right? They're not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos, gzeira derabanan, and therefore this alontis preparation you are not allowed to prepare on Shabbos. But again, the only reason why we brought this in is to simply explain what alontis is. It's some sort of wine beverage. Okay, another big topic for discussion today is going to be the snake venom. Oh, back in the good old days, so they had an issue with snakes. They had snake problems. Snakes were all around. Snakes were inserting their venom into water, wine, fruit, everything, and so. It's amazing just to imagine how they lived back then, where after you prepared every food, you had to watch the food to make sure no snake would come, take a little sip, and while being there, insert their venom into it. Okay? And it's going to be some of this discussion is going to be a little bit funny, because you really have to know snake behavior, and I don't. And I'm just going to take a lot of the Gemara's comments on face value. And the Gemara is going to make some very general snake behavior discussions and comments, and oh, snakes don't do that. And, you know, we'll look at the Gemara and we'll be like, you know, what do we know from snakes? But joking aside, however, back then, this is Sakanta. This was a question of drinking venom, poisonous venom, and you're going to die, and the Gemara takes this stuff very seriously. In fact, the Gemara in Chulin says, Sakanta chamirta sakanta mi'isura. That when it comes, if it's a question of Issa versus Sakana, we are much more cautious about Sakana, about physical danger, than we are about Isurim. Right? By Issa, we'll throw out terms like bittul and suffake and all those, you know, fancy halachic terminology when it comes to Issa. When it comes to sakana, we don't get fancy. If it poses a danger or a threat, we're just cautious. Overly cautious, and understandably, it's talking about our life. So, what we're going to now also discuss, we're going to have two concurrent discussions. We're going to go back, we're going to keep coming back to our Yain Mevushal and Stam Yenam. And concurrently, we're also going to be talking about Gilui, water and wine, which was revealed, subject to the snake venom, if it went unwatched and unchecked. Now, again, just one more word of introduction before I go through the Gemara. Nowadays, we're not worried about our water and our wine and snakes. We don't live in that type of environment, thank God. And so therefore, it's not in our discussion. But you'll see back in the Gemara, they were very cautious about this. If water was diluted, sorry, if wine was diluted, no problem of gilui. Yain mevushal ein mamish mishum nisuch. And we also know that yain mevushal is not subject to nisuch, is not subject to the prohibition of libation towards idolatry. Ibailahu, the Gemara says, okay, two comments which are unchallenged. Yain mevushal yesh mamishum gilui and mamishum gilui. What if it's cooked wine? Do we have to worry about gilui or not? Are snakes into cooked wine? That's the question. Tashma, hey Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi al yain mevushal shein bo mishum giloy. So one opinion expressed by Rabbi Yaakov is not a problem. Snakes are not into cooked wine; they don't like it. Rabbi Yana bar Yishmael chalash. Rabbi Yana got sick. Alagabe Rabbi Yishmael ben Zirud v'Rabbanan lishiyule bay. Rabbi came to visit him, performed the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, Yasve v'kami b'ayilohu, and while performing the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, have a halachic discussion, Yain mevushal yesh bo mishum giloy, oh in bo mishum giloy, cooked wine, snakes are into them or not? Amar lahu Rabbi Shmuel ben Zirud, hachem rashbal, mishum gavarabo, man Rabbi Chiya, Yain mevushal ein bo mishum giloy. So a quote going all the way back to the great Rabbi Chiya, the Gemara calls him great. I mean, he is, but the Gemara gives him that expression. The great Rabbi Chiya is that, nope, not a problem. Wines don't like, sorry, snakes don't like cooked wine. Amrlei nismoch. Okay, good. I'm glad you expressed an opinion.
Can we rely on this opinion?
Now, it's funny, by the way, in the world of halacha, you don't find this. Like, you don't find someone expressed an opinion, oh, is that reliable? Because this is not a... this is not a halacha discussion, this is a sakana discussion. And so, like, and as I pointed out in the introduction, by sakana, you'll find this kind of give and take in the Gemara. Like, really, that's a reliable opinion? And the Mechve Le Rav Yana Bar Yishmael, Alay Va'at Savarei. So he made a demonstration that he did something with his neck, like, yeah, like me, like, smoke halai, like, yes, absolutely, rely upon me, I'm totally confident that's okay. Shmuel Va'avleit Havayasve. Shmuel was sitting down with his friend Avlet. I don't know anything about him other than the fact that he's not Jewish, right? And in our discussion, that's the most important thing to know. All right, they were friends, I guess. Why not? Shmuel and Avlet have a Yasve. Isola kame chamra mevashla.
What was he
socializing?
If he's not Jewish,
chasnus. It's fine.
No,
no, the wine. The wine creates chasnus.
Oh, just sit with that.
All right, that's what. Well, let's go through the story. Isola kame chamra mevashla. So they give him cooked wine. Mashche liyadei. So Avlet knows, he's friends with Shmuel, you know, just through a simple osmosis, you know things, right? Ask any of the secretaries here on the show, they just know things, right? Just from being around long enough, so you know things. So Avlet knows, oh, I can't touch wine, because once I touch it, so then Shmuel's not allowed to drink it. So Mashche liyadei, he retracts his hand, he makes sure not to touch the wine. Amrei Shmuel, hari amrei, yayim mevushalim b'mishum yayin nesach. So Shmuel says to Avlet, don't worry. What are you so worried about? Stop being so religious, right? Go ahead. go ahead. Touch the wine. It's fine. It's cooked wine. There's no yain nesach by cooked wine. It's fine. Now, let's go back one more time to that Rashi that I made a big deal about earlier this morning, which is I told you a couple times that Rashi says that yain mevushal is only mutter bahana, but not mutter b'shtia. Look at Rashi over here. Hare amru v'chule. Rashi writes over here, ushaminan mehacha da'af b'shtia mutter. Rashi writes over here, you're allowed to drink yain mevushal. Now, truth of the matter is that without Rashi, I knew that. Because that's the whole context of the story. Right? What they're just going to... Shmuel's plan was just to look at the wine? Obviously, Shmuel's plan was to drink it. So, but Rashi says it, though. Rashi says, you see from the story that you're allowed to drink cooked wine, even though it was touched, it was handled by a non-Jew. Good. That's what Rashi says over here. It does somehow contradict what was implied from Rashi above, you know, I underlined, I highlighted, right? Rashi, however, does give clear implication above that it's only Mutar Bahana, not Mutar Bishtiyah. So many people try to discuss and come to a conclusion in terms of what is Rashi really feeling? Like, what does Rashi think about Yain Mevoshel? Mutar Bishtiyah, Mutar Bahana. Although this Rashi that we just quoted seems to end the whole discussion, because Rashi does say it's Mutar Bishtiyah.
In this particular case, this maid does not deal with a Zorah.
It doesn't matter. Once the rabbis made a Gzera, it's a fair suggestion. But once the rabbis made a Gzera, so we generally say it goes across the board, right? Regardless of what their own personal beliefs are. If this person's hanging around with Shmuel and is cautious enough not to touch the wine, I agree with you. This is obviously, you know, he's a good one. But you know, Gzera is a Gzera, and it doesn't discriminate one non-Jew from another non-Jew. Okay? So, right. All right. It's a worthwhile venture to try to figure out where Rashi stands on all this. Let's go on in the Gemara. Amte de Rabbi Chiya iglu lehu chamra mevashla. The maidservant of Rabbi Chiya uncovered cooked wine. Also, coming to Rabbi Chiya amar le'arei amar yamei v'shem ein ba mishem gilui. So we already know what Rabbi Chiya said. He was already quoted earlier, but here we have now a record of what he said to his maidservant, and that was, it's fine. Snakes are not into cooked wine. Shami derav adabarava igle lechamra meziga. Okay, next topic of discussion. Diluted wine. How do snakes feel about diluted wine? Now I have to tell you, this is very difficult to understand. Because snakes are into wine. We've established that. Snakes are into water. We've established that. And for some reason, and you know, it's obviously, you know, whenever you mix things together, right? But here, when you take wine and you take water and you mix them together, snakes are not into that. Right. Snakes have strong opinions about what they like and what they don't like. Amar lei hare amar yain mazuk ein bo misham gilui. So, I lost sight of Rav Ada. So he says, not a problem. Not a problem. They're not into diluted wines. Amar Rav Papa lo amar nela de mazik tuva va mazik velo mazik shasi. So here now, the Gemara is going to get into a very detailed discussion about what snakes are into, what they're not into. If it's just diluted just a little bit, mazik velo mazik, I'm sorry, shasi, that snakes do drink. Oh, mazik v'lo mazik. Mishasa the Gemara says, "Is that true?" Rabba bar Ravuna, have a ka'aza ba'arva. Here comes an unbelievable story. Rabba bar Ravuna was on a boat, v'avinake chamer behaday, and he had wine. V'chaz yalu chavia, and there was a snake on the boat. For me, by the way, that would just be the end of the story. Like, there wouldn't be any more story to be told. I don't like snakes. So, b'had v'chaz yaluhu chivyi ditzare v'ase, and the snake was going for the wine. It was going for it. Am le'shami sami ene d'dain. So he says to his attendant, literally, blind the eye of this, right? And throw some water into the wine quickly so that the snake will get turned off by that wine. So, throw a little bit of water, and that's the point the Gemara is making right now, just a little bit of water, and the snake goes away. Okay, once I know there's a snake on the boat, it's like, that's it. Anyway, the wine would not be my first concern. Anyway, but the Gemara's questioning, however, you see clearly over here that even a little bit of water is a turnoff for snakes. And the Gemara says, Achaya Masar Nafshei, Amazigal Masar Nafshei. And the Gemara gives what could be viewed as a funny answer, and that is, it depends. If it's real wine and the real thing and it's undiluted, for that the snake will do anything it can to get at it, even risk its own life. But if once it's a little bit diluted, if it doesn't pose a threat or a danger, the snake will go for it. But Lo master nafshe, it won't do mysterious nefesh to get at the slightly diluted wine.
Snake is
going to
be
there. V'amiziga, hold on, let's just get through one more gemara. V'amiziga lo master nafshe v'harabiyanei have be'achbure. So the gemara tells another story. Rabbi Yana was in this place called Be'achbure. V'amrele Barhadya, or some say it was Barhadya, V'amrele Barhadya have Be'achbure. Some tell the story that it was a person by the name of Barhadya. Anyway, and he was drinking diluted wine. Pashlu Chamra Bekuva, Vitsarune Befarvanka. And what he did is he put it, he tied it up. Right, he tied, sarune means he tied it up. And here's what the snake did. Okay, now snake, no hands, no feet, just the snake. Smart snake took water. Right. In other words, where as it was right now, couldn't get to the wine because the wine was on the was too low, and there was some sort of cloth or net on the top to stop the snake from going in there. Shakomaya virama bekuva ademala bekuva. He threw water into the jug, and now the wine rose to the top. Wine is of a lighter density. Wine rose to the top. V'sal chamri lave parvanka v'shalsi, and the snake drank the wine. You see that the snake drinks wine, and here there was a he diluted it, and he still went for it. Amre, so the Gemara now gives an answer, which each answer seems to be more incredible than the next. The mazig iu shasi de maziga achrina lo shasi. If the snake dilutes it himself, yeah, that's okay, because it's to his taste. But if I know it is funny, and but if others dilute it, so then that's going to be a turn off to the snake. Finally, the Gemara has enough of this. Amar Rav Ashi v'itamar Rav Misharsha. Piruka l'sakanta, you're giving answers for sakana, meaning that when you have a halachic discussion, so yeah, you can start talking halacha, safek and rov and bittul and there's room to negotiate in the world of halacha using halachic principles. In the world of sakana, there's no negotiation. If something poses a threat or a danger, and we have seen now repeatedly that snakes do drink diluted wine, and don't start telling me, well, it depends who dilutes it. The snake dilutes it. The Gemara is essentially saying this doesn't work in the world of sakana. This only works in the world of halacha. This is a sakana discussion.
No, because of the wine that they were drinking, the barrel was already diluted.
Right, correct.
So,
correct.
Not the snake diluted.
None of the sages offer any mystical reasons for this.
No. This is real. This was a real sakana issue. Amar Rav Hilchos Yain Mezug Yesh Bo Mishum Mishum Gila V'Yesh Bo Mishum Yain Nesach Yain Mevushal Ema Mishum Gila V'Ein Bo Mishum Yain Nesach. And finally, the Gemara concludes pretty much where we thought the Gemara was going to conclude, although it did get a little comical up until this point in time. Yain Mazuk, diluted wine, subject to Gilui, snakes go for it, and subject to Yain Nesach, meaning that if a non-Jew touched diluted wine, it is now prohibited, right? Yain Mevushal is a turnoff for both. It's Ein Bo Mishum Gilui, Ein Bo Mishum Yain Nesach. Not subject to Gilui, not subject to Yain Nesach. Let's go on in the Gemara. Shami Derabi, Derab Chilke Bartovi Iglahu Kisvasa Demaya Vahava Naim Gaba. Water. The attendant of Rav Chilkia Bar Tuvia had some sort of jug of water, and to guard it, he slept right next to it. Also, Gabbai Rav Chilkia Bar Tuvia Amalei Hari Amru Emas Yashan Alehen. Yeah, you know, animals are afraid of us. Even while we're sleeping, animals are afraid of us, and so therefore, that is considered shmira. Even though you only slept next to the jug of water, had the jug of water been totally unguarded, the water would have been prohibited. Because of the concern, the real concern they had back then, of a snake coming and depositing venom in the water. But because you were sleeping next to it, it's fine. V'hani milabiyamama v'abalayla lo. The Gemara first makes a distinction between night and day. Animals are not afraid at night. The Gemara rejects. Doesn't. It's a funny discussion because the Gemara doesn't quote anyone, but the Gemara rejects, and the Gemara says, you cannot drink that water. If somebody was not actively guarding the water, it's a sakana, and therefore you cannot drink it. Rav lo shasi mi be'arma, amalo zahir begilui, mi be'amalasa shasi. Amasircha degavra nikita. Rav, when he would go to his local Aramean's friend, he would not drink water. Now, there's no kashrus issue when it comes to water. Water's kosher. It just happens to be that they're not careful about gilui, so it's a sakana issue. He won't drink the water by it. But when he went to the widow's house, he would drink water. Because the widow conducted herself as if her husband was still there. Her husband told her every single time, make sure to cover the water, make sure to cover the water. So she has basically been trained to cover the water. So even after the death of her husband, she still covers the water.
How do you think that the husband would do a better job covering water?
No, not a better job. He was just he was just mockpit. That's all.
No, he
just,
knows Yamah for the man.
And he just
didn't learn.
Right.
I understand. Don't you trust him about the other kashrus in the house?
Yeah, but she learned from
but maybe expert. Just gilui is something that she yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And why she didn't grow up with it before she was married also is strange.
Does this work like with wells and lakes and like,
right? When
water only becomes an issue once it enters a house. Like, how do you know?
I don't know.
The
I don't know.
Well,
right.
Well covered, right. Say, you know.
I don't know. It's. I don't know. It's a. Young. I mean, that's what I said at the beginning. It's hard to imagine life where you had this had to be a daily concern. Shmuel lo shasi maya mi be'ar malasa amarle slay amasa degavra avalo mechsa maya. Shmuel disagreed. Shmuel said that by the widow, once the husband's dead, so she became lax on certain things, and she didn't cover her water anymore, and her husband wasn't there to remind her, and she didn't have amas gavra upon her, she didn't have the fear of her husband upon her anymore, and so Shmuel would not drink even water by the widow, because he was just... He said she wasn't worried about it anymore. The Arameans, they weren't worried about gilui, but they were hygienic people, super hygienic people. And so therefore, just from that standpoint alone, it's okay to drink the water. According to the second version, Shmuel would drink water neither from the widow nor from the Armalasa. I'm sorry, nor from the Arma'a, from the Aramean. Period, end of that discussion. Let's go a little bit further for today. I'm Rav Yishuv ben Levi Shal Shienos Hain, Ve'ein Ma Mishum Gilu. Three types of wine are not subject to Gilu, Ve'elo Hain. Chad mar matok. Chad, sharp wine. Tila charifa de mitzre zika. It's so sharp it wants to break the jug that it's in. Two, mar yarnica, type of bitter wine. Matok, chulia, type of sweet wine. Rav Chama Masni iluya. Chad, the sharp wine, is chamar pipulin. It's mixed with peppers. There we go back to our peppers again. Mar, the bitter wine, is aspinitin. The type of wine that was used back then in Matok, Mebarg, and once again I speak to the Persian audience here in the room, Rashi over here says, Mashke Meshubach, Barg is Lashon Paras Meshubach. That the word Barg, and I'm probably not pronouncing it right, Barg is in Persian something means elevated, exalted.
Good one.
No, not even close. I'm a Shimon Melakish. Karina ain ba mishum. Karyana ain ba mishum gilui. Karyana wine is not subject to gilui. My Karyana, I'm Rabbi Abba Chamer Chalia de Asimi Asia. Wine that comes from the town of Asia. I'm a Rav of a Makama Yesh ba mishum gilui. If it is wine in Asia, it's strong, but the snakes there are used to it. That's what they drink. Snakes of Asia drink the wine of Asia. Snakes outside of Asia don't drink the wine of Asia. Okay. Chama Medinahu. I'm sorry, my time of Chama Medinahu, because that's what's indigenous to them over there in Asia. Okay, we ended today with snakes of Asia. Everyone follow? It's a funny way to end. Okay. Rabbi Chanan, Ben Akash, Amar Sakash, Baruch Hu, Zaku, Sofi, Chachem, Ben Torah, Mitzvah, Shenemar, Anai, Chafetz, Amansi, Ko, Yagdil, Terav, Yadir.